Let the dancing begin.
Hello, my dear friend. Welcome back to the podcast and to another episode with me. And this is going to be a little diary episode. I know I did quite a bit of a life and business update in the last episode, but a lot more has happened and is happening and is going to happen very soon. And so, yeah, for me, really, this podcast is very much like a journal. And I actually personally enjoy listening to other people's podcast journals where they sort of share, you know, what's going on in their lives and their business and the decisions that they make and why, and just kind of get more of a behind the scenes sort of insight view. And that's what this is all about. I like to mix things up. I like to create more value-packed kind of advice episodes, and every once in a while I record an interview with someone that I think is awesome, and then we have these like diary episodes. So anyway, here we go. I'm actually trying to record this for I don't know how many times I started recording this, but I just really need to get over myself, and this is just such a good reminder and such a good learning that I just want to pass on to you. And my learnings never stop, or a lot of times I just get reminded of things that I already feel like I've learned, that I've been there, done that. Then you just got to relearn. And that is, you know, if you don't do something very often, and as you know, I haven't created as much as I normally do in the last, you know, month or two. And, you know, normally I would put out a podcast once a week and also a video once a week, and I would post on Instagram a lot more, write more newsletters. So I do have a bit of a schedule normally, and I am planning to come back to that, or I am in the process of getting back to my schedule and being a lot more consistent, because consistency, I believe, is the key to anything, really, whatever you want to achieve. And however, if you don't do something for a while, things get a lot more difficult than when you do them very regularly, or at best even every day. And so, you know, for example, I used to do 30-day challenges of like shooting videos or writing blog posts. And when you do something every single day, it just gets really easy. You just show up, you forget about perfectionism, and you just do it. But when you have a break of several weeks, or maybe even a month, and sometimes just a few days in between doing something, you get rusty. And that's what I'm experiencing right now, recording this podcast, like just sitting down and just embracing perfectionism. Like every time I started to record this, I would eventually start saying things that I didn't like. And then I was like, I'll just start from the beginning rather than just keep going. I can edit it out. Or just feeling like it wasn't good enough, even though I think it was perfectly fine now, looking back at these quotation marks, failed attempts. So yeah, all I want to kind of pass on to you is that the more regular, the more consistent you do something, the more practice you get. Quality comes through quantity. And yes, it is very difficult to get started with something or to get back into creating something. And I experience that still, you know, even if I've been recording podcasts for a couple of years and I've been making videos for years and doing all the things, but when I stop doing them for a while, it's just as hard for me to get back into it. And so I'm just really excited to get back into a flow of consistency and just creating a lot every day, because things will get easier. You just kind of stop taking yourself so seriously. And you know, even if I don't consider myself a perfectionist, when you haven't done something for a while, you kind of have this expectation of how something needs to be. And if what you then create doesn't level up to that, you feel very quickly like it's not good enough. But in most instances, it's bullshit. It's just your mind tricking you to procrastinate more. It's your wounded ego telling you that you're not good enough. And, you know, I can tell you, like, it's bullshit. And I know you have to believe it for yourself. But the way to believe this is to keep creating and to create more, because you will realize that the more you do, the more you get over yourself, and the more you get over these beliefs and these stories that limit you and hold you back from actually creating. Okay, so this is just a very spontaneous little intro, actually, to this episode. What I actually want to start out with is by saying that if you listen to this podcast, which clearly you are right now, then I highly invite you to let me know on Instagram. Send me a direct message, say hi, say what you like about the episodes. It can be just a little piece, something I said that maybe sparked something in you. And just, yeah, send me a message, what you liked, any suggestions that you have on how I can improve these episodes, maybe something that you would like me to talk about, and just say hi. And I also highly appreciate it if, you know, as you're listening to an episode, just take a screenshot and post it in your Instagram stories and tag me in it so I can see it. And then I want to share that too and kind of show the world, hey, I have awesome people listening to my podcast. So highly appreciate you sharing these episodes. And now let's get into it. So I am not in Bali anymore. I'm back in LA, and I have been for almost 2 weeks now, which means that if you listened to my last episode, this might come as a little surprise, because I remember that I shared upcoming travel plans in that last episode, and I'm meant to stay in Bali for 3 or 4 weeks, and then I wanted to go to Australia and then to Hawaii and then back to LA. However, I was in Bali for a week, and my girlfriend and I, we realized that it was time for me to come back. It was time for us to be together again. It was important to have some time apart, not because something major happened, but there were just some things that we needed to deal with on our own. And it felt like a good idea for me to go to Germany and then go to Asia, and then we would reunite. And however, you know, after 7 weeks, we realized that it's really challenging to properly keep connecting to each other in an intimate way, and that it was just becoming increasingly difficult, to be honest, especially with the time difference. In Germany, it was 9 hours ahead of LA. In Bali, I was 15 hours ahead of LA, and it was just really difficult to connect on a regular basis. And I felt like it was becoming more and more challenging, and I was becoming more and more anxious, and that's not good. And so, yeah, we just very spontaneously decided, very intuitively really, that why don't I just come back? There's no need for us to artificially kind of wait it out or anything. You know, I have the funds, the time, all of it, all the resources to just get on a plane basically the next day so that we can see each other. And that's sort of what I did, and flew back on, I don't even remember the date, doesn't matter, a couple of weeks ago now. And yeah, it's just been really lovely being back together. It's been so good to be able to be physically present with each other again after such a long time. It was the longest time we've ever been apart. You know, I've been away a fair amount during our time that we've been together this past almost coming up to a year and a half now. But 7 weeks is quite long. And so, yeah, it really feels so beautiful now. And it was just very instant that we reconnected on a new level, actually, with each other, that is even more beautiful than it was before. We both felt like something big shifted, especially like in the week or two before I came back. It shifted in her, shifted in me, but also shifted within our relationship. And suddenly it was just so easy to reconnect and to just be able to touch each other and smell each other and all the things. So yeah, it was definitely important to have some time apart. I needed to work on some things, and she did. And it was kind of a way for us to have a little bit of a, almost a new beginning now with that new level of consciousness that we're both on now. And even though at times it was really difficult for me, you know, as I was sharing in my last episode, and I was dealing with a lot of depression and, you know, I was just being triggered by a lot of stuff that came up in our relationship. And, you know, just realizing that if when I take responsibility and I actually do the real work, the real inner work, I can, it really helps you to, I don't know how to explain it, but I really do feel like I have a new appreciation for myself, for life, for Grace, my partner, for a relationship. And I do feel like there has been like an upgrade in my consciousness. And, you know, when we think about why do we get depressed, and a lot of times all we can think about is just how horrible it is to feel that way. And it's so true. And I mean, when you're in it, it's horrible. It's terrible. It seems like it's never going to end. But when you come out of it, and now, you know, I'm back, I feel very grounded. I'm happy again in my relationship, but I'm also happy again within myself, where I'm at. I'm at peace with myself, my soul, my heart, at peace with my partner. And it just, it's as though there is a purpose in being depressed. And maybe when we ask ourselves, how does being depressed, how does depression serve me? How does it serve us? And maybe if, you know, we sit down and actually write it out and journal about it. For me, it's always that even though it's really hard as a, when I'm in it, there's always amazing learnings that I get from that time. When I'm so confronted with myself and old issues and wounds, and then I, as I work through that and I actually connect to myself even deeper. And the deeper I can connect to myself, the deeper I'm able to connect to other people. Let that be my partner, friends, family. So that's one thing. And the other thing is that I always take away lessons that are invaluable that could have only come from being so fucking depressed. They could not have come from me being just happy. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, so much for that. I'm back in Los Angeles. It feels like new beginnings. Like I also have like this new appreciation for Los Angeles. If you'd asked me any time before, I would have told you that, yeah, LA is, it's fine. It's cool. You know, it's got a lot of cool things going for it, but it's not really the place I want to be in long term. And now I don't know what it is, but I feel like I can appreciate it so much more. And not just because I was away for so long, but it's almost like I have new eyes looking at the same thing. You know how they say that a miracle is really just a shift in perspective. It's what it says in A Course in Miracles, and Marianne Williamson talks about it a lot. Highly recommend it. Look her up, read her books. But so that's what miracles sometimes are. And or mostly really, it's what they are. And that's how I feel about being back in Los Angeles. We started to refurnish the apartment, which just felt so good. And we have a new amazing couch. We have a new bed, a new kitchen table that I'm sitting at right now. It's so much bigger. I feel like it's a real desk. Because there is limited space here in the apartment, and there's reasons why we haven't gotten our own place together yet, even though we started looking a few months ago. And but anyway, for now, the best setup for us is to stay in her apartment. But I felt like it was really time to kind of, just kind of bring some fresh air into this place and make it feel more home also to me, so that it's more of a shared place rather than Grace's place, sort of. And so, yeah, I came back from Bali, and basically the next day or 2 days later, we went out and got new furniture. And also because a lot of the furniture she had, they were a little antiquated maybe. It was definitely time for an update, that's for sure. And I also, she got rid of a lot of stuff, and because it was also my sort of desire to set this place up more minimalist, less clutter, you know, and all that. So yeah, we've been finding a really good compromise and middle path there together, which has been really great. And she feels awesome about letting go of a lot of old things. And I feel awesome about creating more space here and yeah, having a better desk setup, which is amazing. And yeah, and just being back in LA, I mean, it's super hot. Well, I guess it's hot in so many places right now because it's summer. But it's very hot here. And I don't know, I think I personally prefer humid heat of like Bali, for example, or Thailand, than I do dry heat that we have here in LA, because, you know, desert and everything. And so, but even if you just go to the coast, down to Venice or Santa Monica, it's always a few degrees cooler there, which is actually really nice. But yeah, I don't know. There is definitely something about LA that makes this place quite special, even though I do have a bit of a love-hate relationship with this town, because I could probably record a whole episode on my relationship with Los Angeles. And to be fair, if I wasn't with Grace, or if she wasn't kind of based here mainly for, you know, all the jobs that she does here, we would probably, or I would probably, live further south in Southern California in a more quieter place, closer to the ocean as well. We're about, I don't know, depending on traffic, 30, 45 minutes, sometimes longer, away from the beach here in East LA. And yeah, it's just, I'm also just not necessarily a city kind of girl. You know, I just like it rural, and not necessarily rural, but just like I prefer smaller towns, I think, yeah, with a lot more nature around. But where we are is actually not that bad, because there's Griffith Park, you know, where the big Hollywood sign is. It's just behind us. It's like a 10-minute walk, so I can go hiking. So that's cool. And, you know, generally the climate here is pretty awesome. Like, it never gets too cold in the wintertime, but it also never gets too hot. I mean, I was just in Las Vegas, and I'll share more about that in a minute, but we had like 42 degrees Celsius. And that's the reality there, like a couple of months of the year in the summer. And I was like, how do people even live in that sort of climate? And I know there's many other, you know, areas around the world where it gets this hotter, even hotter. And so, you know, living here in LA, or spending a lot of time here in LA, where normally the temperatures are, you know, in the wintertime, the lowest is maybe like 15, 16 degrees Celsius, and the hottest, you know, like right now it's been consistently about 30, 32 degrees Celsius, but, you know, it can go up more when there's like a heat wave coming through from the desert, but on average, that's about it, and that's really nice, you know, and it never gets too cold. I just hate the cold. I just really do, way more than I would ever hate the heat. So, you know, it's that. And then there's a lot happening in LA, and it's a very creative city, obviously. And you got Hollywood and so many creative people around. It's a crazy city in so many ways, for sure, when you go out in the streets. But the homelessness is something that really I have a real issue with. It confronts me with a lot of uncomfortable feelings, which actually, to be fair, also is something that is interesting to look at, you know, when we are confronted with things like that, not to look away or to ignore these feelings that come up within us, but to actually, you know, look at them, feel them, and just kind of connect to them. I think that's important. And so, yes, there's a lot of good and bad stuff. I might maybe record an extra episode, or maybe a video about Connie and LA. It could be, maybe I should do like a day in the life or something like that video, because they're so popular right now on YouTube. So yeah. And then, so we furnished the apartment and it feels good. And then we did a, I felt like we had a lot to celebrate. You know, I was kind of celebrating my book deal and also selling my website, Planet Backpack. And Grace was celebrating a couple of things. And, you know, we wanted to kind of celebrate our relationship intentionally. And I was like, hey, why don't we just, you know, book a really nice fancy hotel in LA and just have a long date, you know, rather than just going out for dinner or something. It's like, nah, let's have a staycation. So, and I knew that Grace, she had worked at the Nomad Hotel several times in the last few months, and she always raved about it. She's like, oh my God, Connie, we have to go and stay there sometime. And I was like, huh, I think we should go to the Nomad. So that's what we did. I got us a really nice room, a junior suite at the Nomad Hotel in downtown LA. On like a Sunday, we checked in. It was just for one night, but it was really cool. They have a nice rooftop pool with a bar and a restaurant up there. It's not huge, but it's pretty cool. It's very LA. It's so LA. Like the people there, it took me a little while to like get adjusted to the whole vibe and the people and everything. And you know, it was so LA, like blue skies. It was hot. It was a Sunday afternoon. And there were quite a lot of people out there. The pool was pretty busy. Everybody was drinking beers and cocktails and margaritas. And I was so fucking LA. But it was also fun. And there was a DJ playing some really cool tunes. And so, you know, eventually we finally got a couple of seats sun loungers. And then, yeah, we made best friends with the barman. He was cool. Shout out to the barman at the Nomad in downtown LA. And yeah, we had a few margaritas, some snacks, and a couple of swims. And we just had fun, you know? Music was cool. And we were high up there over downtown LA. It was great. We had a really lovely time. The room was awesome. It's just nice, you know, when you're in this huge bed where you kind of lose each other at night, you know, because it's so big. And the white sheets, and it's pretty cool. Also, having air condition is kind of nice when it's so hot here. We don't have air con here in the apartment. It was great. We went out for dinner to the Gratitude in downtown, had a lovely dinner. And then, kind of went back home on the next day. So that was highly recommended, guys. Just for one night. Go and stay in a nice place. It doesn't have to be as fancy as the Nomad. But if you want to have a special date with your partner, or even just do it on your own. I actually used to do that by myself back in the days when I was still single. And I would just take myself on a date for a night or two in a nice hotel when I was traveling. Or you can do it with a friend or maybe your mom. My mom and I, we used to do that a lot and sometimes still do. We just go, you know, when I'm in Germany, we just go and stay in Munich or somewhere close by and stay in a nice hotel and just kind of treat ourselves. It's awesome. Highly recommend it. Staycations, people. All right. The next thing I want to briefly share is that I upgraded my podcast gear and I'm recording this with my new podcast gear. It's very exciting because I've been meaning to really get to a more professional level with my recording setup. And even though the setup that I had and still have actually is pretty good, I was never 100% satisfied with the quality. And in all honesty, I mean, audio is challenging. Like optimizing audio, editing audio. It's been really frustrating because there's just so much to learn. And yes, I could outsource it, but you know what? I love learning things myself first, especially when it comes to this kind of stuff, editing, optimizing. And then once I know how it's done, once I learned the skill, then I'm happy to outsource. but I hate outsourcing stuff that I don't know much about. And I in the past, actually, when I started podcasting, I outsourced the whole editing process. I just recorded and sent it over to some people. They did the rest, uploaded it. And I just feel like I didn't like that. And I also wasn't 100% satisfied with the quality. And so I want to know how to do things first. And then I pass it on to other people. But maybe I also don't mind doing it. I just need to optimize my process. And I know it's not always, or actually in very few cases, it's ever about the equipment. You know, there's people who think they need better equipment to create better stuff. And I think a lot of times that's just wrong, because better equipment will not generally make you a better creator. A lot of people think they need a better camera to make better videos, when in reality, you know, the really, really good videos on YouTube with a lot of views or the channels with a lot of success is just people who know how to tell stories really well. And some of the most popular videos on YouTube, they're not cinematic. They were not filmed on expensive cameras or any other expensive gear. So I think it's just not true. You don't need expensive gear to make amazing things. However, at some point, I do think that gear becomes relevant and that it might be a good idea to upgrade. And so I did that now. I invested around, I want to say maybe $600. I think the mic was about $400. So I'm on the Shure mic SM7B, I think it's called. Yeah. It's like the state of the art microphone right now among podcasters, but also actually a lot of artists record their albums with this microphone. And then I have this connects to the Focusrite Scarlett 2i2 is what it's called. I'm sorry if this is very technical. Sorry about that. I'm sorry if this is very technical for some of you, but maybe you are interested and you want to look it up. I might include the links to all this stuff in the show notes. But this is a setup that many, many podcasters use, professional podcasters out there. And so it's the Focusrite Scarlett 2i2. And then I have a cloud lifter, which helps to, I guess, amplify the microphone even more. And those three things, I want to say, are around $600 altogether. And that's a fair amount of an investment for sure. And it's not something that I do lightly. I do like to reflect a lot on, is this necessary? Do I need to buy this piece of gear? Because I hate falling into the shiny object syndrome. And, you know, I follow a lot of YouTube creators and podcasters on my social media channels. And there's a lot of talk about gear, especially on my Twitter accounts. I need to really change the people that I follow on Twitter, because there's just too much gear talk on there. And I'm not a fan of that. Like, this whole creator tech consumerism vibe is not me. I do get excited about technology for sure. But I want to be very intentional with what I add to my setup. But this was something that I had on my wish list for a very long time, and I just really want to make more of a commitment even to my podcast. And I also want to use this setup for doing more voiceover stuff for some of the videos that I have planned. I love doing voiceover for videos with like B-roll and, you know, to kind of mix things up, but also I also enjoy watching other people's videos that are made with voiceovers. And yeah, so that's another reason. And then also I might do some like sitting down videos with this microphone setup, because yeah, it's just audio is really, really important. I think a lot of people, that's something a lot of people underestimate. It's just how important the quality of audio is for video. So those are three ways that I'm going to use this new setup, and I am excited about it, that's for sure. I actually also purchased a new lens, which was not a lens I had on my list, but I had this really big realization that there were many times that I was not bringing my camera out because I felt like it was too heavy, too bulky, and so especially for vlogging. So I have this really nice lens. It's a 24 millimeter. It's a Sigma. It's a 1.4. And I love using it with my Sony camera. I have the Sony a7 III. And it's a beautiful camera. I shoot a lot of my videos with it. And then also like more close-up stuff with my Sony 50 millimeter 1.8. And but I realized I just wasn't taking out my camera enough with a 24 millimeter because it's actually really heavy and big lens. And I know that I need the barrier to creation to be low so that I can create more. Because as I said earlier, it's quantity trumps quality for the longest time until quantity leads to quality. I just had this big aha moment. I was like, man, I think it's my gear. But at the same time, I didn't want to bring more gear along or purchase more, like a smaller camera, or whatever. Because I have a smaller kind of vlogging style camera, the Sony RX105, I believe it is. Smaller camera where you can turn the screen around, but it doesn't have a microphone jack. So, and as I just said, I believe that audio is super crazy important for video, and the quality of the camera, like once you're used to a camera like the Sony a7 III, the quality of a smaller camera like that is just, you know, yeah. So anyway, I realized, okay, now what can I do to bring my camera along more often and to do more vlog style stuff? And I realized, I need a smaller lens. And so I did a lot of research on like wider lenses that are more pancake style, so a lot smaller. So I have the Sony 35 millimeter 2.8, but a 35 millimeter is actually, it's just not wide enough for vlogging at all. By vlogging, I mean when you turn the camera around and you're speaking into the camera while you're holding the camera in your hand. And yeah, you're just too close to the camera. So I eventually found a lens. It's a 28 millimeter with a 2.0 f-stop. And it's not as wide as the 24, clearly. Wait for the airplane. No, it's probably more like a helicopter. So yeah, and I did a lot of research, and it wouldn't be a lens that I would use for like client stuff or like shooting mini documentaries. But for like the day-to-day things, you know, that's what I wanted. And I think it was $450. I was like, maybe I'll just try it out. So I got it, and it's awesome. It's small, it's light, and I've been taking out my camera more, been shooting more, lots of stuff to come. But yeah, I think maybe a question that you can ask yourself is, what keeps you from creating, especially in this regard with, you know, when it comes to gear? How can you lower that barrier? So in my case, it was realizing I just need to keep things simple. I'm a minimalist at heart, and I really like to keep things simple. I know that I actually made things a lot more complex with this new podcast setup, but in many ways I need things to be very simple. And so, yeah, I feel like everybody's talking about all these big lenses, these super expensive G Master Sony lenses and whatnot for a couple of $1,000 that are super heavy and, you know, amazing lenses. Absolutely. But then I was like, I'm just going to fuck the status quo and what everybody else is talking about on Twitter. I'm just going to do me and get a small lens and just see what happens. And for me, as I said, it is really so much more about going out and creating rather than creating perfectly. Cool. So that is another big learning that I wanted to pass on to you, that you can maybe reflect on a little bit. And with that lens, I actually also already did a little collab. So last week on Thursday, I met up with my good friend Alex Gassaway. We've done a couple collaborations before. She was on my podcast, one of my first interviewees, actually, here on this Create podcast. And yeah, we also created a couple of videos together that you can check out on my YouTube channel. And she lives down in Long Beach, so unfortunately, we don't actually get to see each other as often as we would like to. But we had set the date of August 1st, and we're like, we're going to do something. Because she's super busy, and I just came back from Bali, and we're like, let's make it happen. And so we did, and we met up in Venice at the beach, and kind of hung out for a while. And then we created two videos, one for her channel, one for my channel. Yeah, super rad. I love hanging out with her. And I was using this new lens, and I really loved it. And just because it's just so easy, it's much lighter to lug around when you're on the go. And I really appreciate that. Yeah, so those videos should be out in hopefully a few weeks or so. I'm really behind. Well, clearly, because I haven't created anything in the last month or two. But I'm really behind with a lot of videos that I shot, but that I haven't edited yet. And I'm even more behind on a long-ass list of ideas that are on the back burner that I really, really want to turn into something. And I'm just so excited to dive back into creating a ton. And so I'm recording this podcast. I'm going to be editing after this. And yeah, so many things. And the first step to actually getting my ideas in order and to kind of ground back down again from this feeling of, oh my God, there's so many things I want to do, so many things I have to do, I'm so behind. You know that feeling when you're feeling like, shit, I'm so behind on a million things. Now that I have all my energies back, you know, it's, I just sat down today, the clear head, Monday morning, and just ordered all of these thoughts and to-dos and ideas. And I still have to sit down and set up my new bullet journal for August. But yeah, so that feels really good. And I think also by recording this podcast, it's helping me as I'm talking through a lot of this stuff. It's helping me to get my mind to be more organized, actually. It's really cool. You should try it out. These kind of journal diary entries as a podcast. As much as writing can be, you know, can help us to sort of organize our minds, I think doing something like this, and you can do this even just on your phone with the voice memo app, you know, just start recording, just kind of talk it all out and talk yourself through ideas and thoughts and whatnot. It really helps. So yeah, and then on Friday, I went up to Las Vegas. Yes. So I just mentioned it a little bit earlier. Here's the reason why. I never explained it, actually. I was just also on my Instagram. I was just posting stuff on my Instagram stories from Las Vegas, but didn't even explain why I went there, because I wouldn't go to Las Vegas just because I wanted to go to Las Vegas. Like, I'm personally totally not interested in Las Vegas as a city. I don't care about the casinos and the gambling and all the attractions. I've been to Las Vegas, I think two times before, maybe three, but the last time was more than 10 years ago. And the first time I was there, I was like 14. So, you know, I'm good with Las Vegas. I think it's crazy. This whole place is fucking crazy. And as I drove into Las Vegas on Friday, you know, you drive into the city, and like, you come from the desert, you've been driving through the desert for a long time, and then suddenly there's just this big city in the middle of the fucking desert. It's just insane to me. I don't know. But the reason I went to Las Vegas in the first place was to assist on a film shoot with the people from Story and Heart. These guys are, for one, they're like a film video production company, but they also have a community, a platform with workshops and lots of cool stuff. And I actually did one of their workshops with Levi Allen a few months ago. And yeah, and they're just really awesome guys. And they sometimes put out these kind of job calls, I guess, in their community. And that one they put out maybe a week before. They were looking for people to assist. And I just very intuitively, I was like, hey, I'm free. I'm in LA. It's only a few hours away. And I just love to experience new things and meet new people. And I was just like, why not? I just thought it was a really good idea to just rent a car and drive out there. And that's what I did. I just said yes. I didn't even think about it. And like I said, you know, in podcast episodes and videos before, like this year, 2019, is my year of just surrender. It's my year of living fully based on intuition. And it has proven to be so amazing and so cool and fun. And like that, like this is maybe a smaller example, but it counts just as well or even more so because, you know, when something comes your way and you feel in your body that it's a yes, but your brain is like, why would you do that? You'd be gone the whole weekend, yada, yada, yada. You just come back from Bali. You know, it's like all that chatter going on in your brain. But my body's reaction is yes. Then, well, fuck you, mind. I'm going to do what my body tells me because that is my intuition. So I just immediately said yes. Hopped on, and there were a lot of other people who were interested, apparently. But they called me up and we had a chat and we made it happen. And so it ended up being a film shoot for the USASF. That stands for the U.S. All-Star Federation, which is something that is so American. So American. The All-Star Federation is like this whole thing about cheerleading and dance, you know, like at basketball games and football games, they have the cheerleaders and the dancers. And yeah, it's like that whole federation that organize all that and that these people are part of. And, you know, like kind of like they have the NBA and the NFL, and they also have the ASF, the All-Star Federation. And we were shooting something for them or with them. It was actually really interesting. It was like this discussion about diversity and sexual objectification as an athlete. And it was really cool. It was among like young kids, like teenagers and maybe like between 16 and mid-20s or so. It was really cool. And we shot we were at the M Hotel. It's in the south of Las Vegas. And it was fun. It was great. I learned a lot. The guys from Story and Heart are super cool. They made me feel really welcome. We hung out for drinks on Saturday night. And just, yeah, it was really lovely. I just met a ton of really cool people. And just kind of, you know, being part of a film shoot like that, like kind of seeing how, like it was a discussion among eight people, seeing how they mic up eight people, how they set up the cameras and the lights, you know, and everything, how they prep them, how this all takes place. For me personally, I have so much to learn still when it comes to bigger shoots like that. And I just want to learn. I'm just all about learning. So maybe I should do like an internship or like a traineeship or something with like a big film production company or something. That'd be a lot of fun, actually, you know, like, yeah, I'm just up for the learning. I don't want to go back to like film school or anything. I don't want to do this for 4 years, but learning on the spot, like, you know, in practice, it's fascinating. And I was staying at a hotel. It was the Hyatt place, and it was actually a brand new hotel. It was not on the Strip. I'm so glad I didn't stay on the Strip. The hotel I booked was closer to the M Hotel in the south, which is kind of like in between that and the Strip. I don't think I could have handled the Strip and all the people and the craziness. But as I said, that Hyatt Hotel was brand new. It literally opened the day before on August 1st. And so when I arrived, you could tell that there's still a bit of chaos going on. And they were still kind of trying to figure out a few things. But it's a lovely hotel, and it was kind of cool to be the first person to stay in a hotel room, the first person to sleep in that bed. And, you know, it was cool. I liked that. It was great. But yeah, it was so hot, 42 degrees. Oh boy, how do people do it? I mean, the people that I asked there, you know, that live in Las Vegas, it was just like, yeah, you know, it's just a couple of months a year. I'm like, it's a couple of months a year. That's a long time to be living in this fucking heat. They just said, well, you know, you just basically live in your house or apartment with air condition. You live in your car with air condition. And then you live in wherever, your work or buildings, basically. You're just never outside. Outside feels like it's always a little windy there too, because desert. And so it kind of feels like there's like a hot blow dryer going all the time. That's what it felt like. Literally, kind of interesting feeling, that heat in the desert. But man, those desert sunsets, they're special. Like, there's definitely something to be said for sunsets, you know, over the ocean and on the beach. But sunsets in the desert are also very special. Yes, very special. I experienced them last year. Me and Grace, we went to Joshua Tree, and boy, those sunsets and that light there, like during magic hour, you know, that hour when the sun is setting, very special. One more thing. Well, there's a couple more things I want to talk about, but one important thing I wanted to briefly talk about is, yeah, so I'm writing a book. Well, I signed the deal and it's happening. I committed. I've made a commitment like that in a very long time, like a big commitment. Like, I actually have to deliver something. And I have to deliver it. I have to deliver the manuscript like mid-November, end November, something like that. That's not very far away, I realized a few days ago. I was like, shit, it is August. So that's August, September, October, November. So that's like 3.5 months away. So I need to write a book in 3.5 months. And I mean, it can be daunting, you know, and I can freak myself out thinking about that. But I know that I've written a book, not with a publisher, but I've written a book that I then sold. That was about, if you're German, is my book about becoming a digital nomad. And it was like 70,000 words. And I want to say that the book I'm going to be writing now will probably be somewhere around there, maybe more like 50 or 60,000 words. So like, what, 250 pages, somewhere in that area. You know, so I'm kind of right now gonna, well, I'll probably do that tomorrow. Sit down, figure out roughly how many words I want to write. And then I know it's easy to write like 1,000 words a day. I think that's like so doable. And then there's days where you're going to write 2,000 or 3,000 words. But let's say if I wrote 1,000 words a day and I want to write 50 or 60,000 words, then I can totally do that in 2 months if I wrote it every single day. But, you know, we want to be realistic here. I don't like being realistic most of the time. But when it comes to something like that, I do want to be realistic in terms of, there's probably going to be days where I'm not going to write 1,000 words. There's probably going to be, you know, weeks where I'm more productive than in others. So I want to kind of plan that out. I also kind of want to plan out, like, I have an outline already because they wanted me to like write a proposal. So I have a kind of an outline, but I kind of want to, you know, I want to still optimize the outline and go into more detail with it, so that I can then plan out, you know, roughly when I'm going to write what, but without being too structured, because I know that that will just kill my creativity. The book is going to be called, just like the program that I ran about a year ago, or a year and a half ago, is called Find Your Magic. And it will be based on that program. So I already have a lot of content, but it's not going to be a one-on-one. Like, there's going to be a lot of content that I will add on just because, well, it's been like more than a year and I've learned a lot more. And it's also, the focus is a little bit different, but generally it will be about how to find your calling, find your purpose, your passion in life, how to create a meaningful life that's fulfilling. You know, everything that I've learned on my journey over the last, let's just say my whole life, because that's been something that has been a big driver for me. Everything I do and big decisions that I made is always that question of what's my purpose, you know, and how can I live a fulfilling life? And so that's what the book's going to be about. I'm really excited. I'm actually really excited. And now that, you know, the papers are signed, like I made the decision to go with one publisher rather than with another, one or two that were really interested to write a book with me. They kind of approached me all at the same time, quite a while ago now, and I had to make a decision which one to go with. And it really wasn't an easy decision, but I feel good about it now. We also met up when I was in Germany, like me and the people from the publisher. And yeah, I'm excited. And really excited, actually, because I feel like that book, it's going to be like a body of work that will be, in one way or another, kind of my, I don't know, like Connie's Bible, you know? Everything that I have to say about how to find your calling and live a meaningful and fulfilling life, which are three things that I'm just so fucking passionate about and always have been. Everything I know about that, in theory, especially also though in practice, that will be that book. And so my heart and soul, that's, I'm going to put my heart and soul into that book for sure. And I will be writing it in German, and then hopefully we'll get it translated and get to find a publisher here in the States. I really, really want to get this out into the whole world. So that's a really big, a big goal of mine is to, yes, it's awesome to have this opportunity to do this in German, but the next level then is to get this out internationally into the world in English. And yeah, it's also going to be a bit of a challenge for me to write this in German. And I already warned them. I was like, so my German, especially my written German, like my spoken German is not perfect. And it's sometimes not very fluent. My brain just struggles at times. And I'm just, I don't know. I never feel 100% confident in when it comes to my grammar, even when I speak. And because I left Germany when I was a teenager, I went to different international schools, and then I lived abroad and in all these different countries for so many years. Yeah, it's just what happens, I guess. And now there's a whole lot of police cars and fire trucks in the back. That's very LA for you, actually. Yeah, so it won't be easy for me to write, especially writing is a little challenge for me because I haven't actually written very much in the last few years since kind of abandoning my travel blog. And even when I was writing on my travel blog, I would get a lot of people criticize me for my writing, my grammar, my spelling mistakes and all that stuff. And so now I'm writing a book in German, but I warned them. I said, hey, just to let you know, just a little heads up. My German is a little rusty. And so, yeah. Anyway, that's why I have an editor who's going to have to go through all of that and make it perfect. So, yeah. And of course, there are some fears, you know, around writing a book. And every once in a while, in the last few weeks, when I thought about it, I was like, man, whew. Expectations and things like that. Like you sign a piece of paper binding you to write something awesome that's going to take you several months. Time is ticking. And yeah, it's my first book with a publisher. So that is a really big deal. But at the same time, I'm not going to let my mind kind of take control of this at all. My fears are definitely not in the driver's seat with this, because I'm really excited about this. And I know that with everything I've done in the past where I put my heart and soul into it, it always turned out awesome. And I do have big sort of, I have big goals with this book. Like, I really want this to be amazing. I would love for it to be on these big, like, New York Times bestseller lists one day, you know, or the equivalent, whatever that's called in Germany. Like, fuck yeah, I want a lot of people to buy the book and change their life with it. That is definitely my goal, for sure. I would love to make a really big difference with this book. And just by saying it out loud, like right now, that makes it even more real. And also saying it like that, it's like when I feel into it with my body right now, it feels really good. It feels exciting. It feels like, yeah, of course, there's like a little nervousness there. But for the most part, I want to just trust that this book is meant to happen. It was never something that I pushed or wanted to make happen. It was always something where I said to the universe, like, I need this to be in the flow, because if it's not in the flow, I'm just not going to do it. I always said, if the universe wants me to write this book, it's going to make it easy. And so that's kind of what I surrendered to with this little book project. So that's exactly what I'm going to be doing with this book as well. And I know that since apparently this book wants to be written and the universe wants me to write this book, that it will guide me to. And I want to basically, I want to be a messenger. I want the content, even though I already have a lot of the content in one way or another somewhere lying around, but I want it to come through me. I'm the messenger. And I think if I sit down and write it from that place, then it's kind of, you know, have you read Neil Donald Walsh's books, Conversations with God? It's like he just channeled all the content, basically. He just sat down and started writing and channeled what was coming through him. He was the messenger. And that's kind of how I feel like with this book. I'm just going to be the messenger. I'm just going to let it flow through me. Whatever the universe wants me to put out there and to make an impact in other people's lives, if this book needs to be born and birthed, then yeah, it'll tell me what to do. That's the trust that I'm following. And yeah, that kind of keeps me sane. And it doesn't freak me out that I only have a few months to write it, because I feel grounded in that trust, if that makes sense. Cool. But I do need to make a plan, I think, tomorrow. And actually start writing. Yes. Exciting. It's exciting. And then I have a couple more projects that I want to start and get off the ground. Like Grace and I, my partner and I, we want to record meditations, because we both meditate regularly and we've meditated a lot. She's been a meditator since she was a kid, and I've been doing a lot of meditating and tried out all sorts of stuff, and I've tried out also all the apps that are out there. You know, been on a few retreats, and yet I really feel like there is still room for meditations that I would like to listen to, because even though there are a lot of apps out there and a lot of, you know, guided meditations, there's always something that I find is lacking. And we talked about this, and Grace has a beautiful voice and she's a beautiful writer. And so we're going to collaborate on this project together and kind of experiment. And there's going to be a free meditation, and then we'll see how that goes. And then possibly also create like a paid meditation pack eventually, with different kinds of meditations. So that's an idea that we have that we're sort of slowly starting to work on. And you can totally let me know what you think of that idea. Send me a direct message on Instagram. That'd be awesome. And let me know what you'd be interested in, if that's something you would like and or need, and what sort of meditations you enjoy doing. And other than that, there's a lot of stuff going on in the background, but I'm mainly going to be focusing on writing this book, mainly going to be focusing on creating YouTube videos, on recording podcast episodes. I also kind of have a feeling that I might want to rebrand the podcast again. I don't know. Yeah, maybe it's a little silly, but I feel like it could use even more specific branding and messaging. So I want to do that. But those are like the three big things I want to focus on. And on the side, we want to work on that meditation project. Yeah, and I think that's it for today. I mean, I have a few extra points that I was like, if there's time, I'll talk about that. But you know what? I'm going to talk about them in one of the next episodes. And yeah, maybe I was also thinking of maybe upping, increasing the frequency of my podcast episodes to 2 a week, just to get back into a good rhythm and a good flow. And because there's a lot of content that I would like to share with you. And I personally love listening to podcasts when I walk Lou, when I'm in the car, or when I'm out hiking or running, whatever it is, or in the car when I'm traveling. It's one of my most favorite sort of, I guess, mediums to consume. And so, yeah, why not try and create a few more, because the production effort is not as much, obviously, as creating a video. But I believe, you know, there's just as much value, or maybe even more value, because I can go so much deeper into certain topics and issues and stories. And I personally learn a lot from listening to podcasts, for sure. So yeah, again, a reminder, send me messages on Instagram. Let me know how you like this one, what you learned maybe, or an insight that you had, or just anything you want to share with me. I'm also always open to listener requests and anything that, yeah, you might want to hear in one of the upcoming episodes. Yes. What else? Yeah, and also share it. I think one of the best ways to share a podcast is through Instagram stories. At this point, I'm making zero money off doing this. I have no sponsorships. I got nothing to sell right now. So I appreciate any shout out. Yeah. So, okay, I'm done. I hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for listening. And I'll talk to you soon.